is sometimes even forgotten at the Christmas time. And the fellow's name is Joseph. There's not much said about Joseph in the Bible. The list, if you listed what it said about him, it'd be very short. We see Joseph involved in Jesus' life when he was around 12 years old. Remember the story where they went to town and they forgot him, and so they had to go back and all of that. And then when we get to the cross, when Jesus is 33 years old from that time in his life, there's no mention of Joseph at all. So many believe that sometime between the time Jesus was about 12 and 30 years old, his dad must have died, because there's no mention of him. And so he does really seem like the forgotten one of Christmas. See, there are more songs written about Mary than there is Joseph. You know the song that Mark Lowry wrote? We're going to play it tonight at our candlelight service. It doesn't say this, Joseph, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? That just doesn't seem to click, does it? Sounds better when it says, Mary, did you know that your baby boy would walk on water? Most songs were related to Mary, to the baby, to even the shepherds, the lowly shepherds on the hill. There's more teaching and more preaching and more songs written about them than there is about Joseph. What about Joseph? What about him? What kind of man was he? What can we learn from Joseph? We've learned a lot about the shepherds and about Mary and the wise men and all of this, but what about Joseph? Well, take your Bible this morning and turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 18 to 25, and then we're going to take our thoughts from this section. So Matthew chapter 1, first book of the New Testament, and verses 18 to 25. And I'm going to read this and you follow along as I read. If you don't have a Bible, you can grab the one there next to your hymnals and turn to Matthew chapter 1, 18 to 25. It says this. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus.
Push the down arrow. Two arrows.
I'm just pushing the lit one. Not that one?
Technically challenged, let's see. Right there.
Just like home. Taryn walks in.
But you're working.
Well,
Jamie, she can do it.
Huh? What? Do you want to be my clicker? Well, I will. I'll help you do that. I'm clicking challenged here.
Yeah, reach.
What about Joseph? What kind of man was he? I believe God chose Joseph. I believe God chose Joseph. And he knew exactly what kind of man he was. And he knew exactly what God was asking him to do. And the weight of that responsibility, no doubt, must have weighed heavily on his shoulders. There's a song. It's a newer song. And it's called Joseph's Song. It's sung by Michael Card. It speaks of how he must have felt. And we have that for you, and I want you to listen to that, and we also have the words on the screen. Yeah.
How could it be, this baby in my arms, sleeping now, so peacefully? The Son of God, the angel said, how could it be? Lord, I know he's not my own, not of my flesh, not of my bone. Still, Father, let this baby be the son of my love. Father, show me where I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man raise a king? He looks so small, his face and hands so fair, and when he cries the sun just seems to disappear, but when he laughs it shines again. How could it be? Show me where I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be father to the Son of God? Lord, for all my life I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? How can I raise a king? How could it be, this baby in my arms, sleeping now so peacefully? The Son of God, the angel said, how could it be?
No, I'm not only clicker deprived. Can't even put words on a screen. Oh, my word. Thanks for trying. Joseph had an awesome, amazing responsibility. He was to protect and guide and teach and provide for the needs of this very unique one of a kind, special child. And I think that song gave us a little glimpse of maybe what he was thinking, what might have been in his heart as he held that little baby, thinking about what the angel had told him. And I'm going to be the father of this Son of God? I believe that God chose Joseph as much as he chose Mary. God chose Joseph not because he just happened to be engaged to Mary. I don't think that was the case. I think he chose Joseph because Joseph was the right man for the job. The kind of man that men could follow. The kind of man that we could seek to be like. We could study his life and see what kind of man he was, and then use him as our example to follow. Let me ask you this question, guys. If Christmas, the first Christmas, came today, instead of over 2,000 years ago, could God have chosen you to be the father of the Messiah, the earthly father of God's Son? And if you would have to say, Pastor, I don't think so. I wouldn't be the one he'd choose. Then you need to ask yourself, seriously, why not? Why couldn't I, or why wouldn't I be chosen of God to be the one? Listen, if you are a father here this morning, God has already chosen you. He has chosen you to be that little boy or girl's Joseph. You too have been given the awesome responsibility to protect and guide and love and teach and provide for him or her. It's no different. You don't know, maybe that son for you is going to grow up and become a president or a king. Or maybe he's going to grow up and be another Billy Graham or another John Wesley. Or someone who's going to do some great thing. We don't know. See, we too have been given a great, awesome responsibility. No different than what Joseph had. Seek to be like Joseph. See, Joseph was a man of integrity. We need to seek to be men of integrity. Especially those of us who are fathers. And let me say this to the gals, to the girls. If you're here and you're not married, but maybe hope to be someday or whatever, you need to make sure that you wait on God for your Joseph. And do not settle for anything less than that. Do not settle for anything less than the Joseph that God has chosen for you. If it's God's will for you to marry, know this. God has already picked out his Joseph for you. No different than Joseph and Mary back then. Because the job that we have is awesome, is important. Make sure that your Joseph is a man of integrity, a man of spiritual, moral, and emotional integrity. The word integrity just means wholeness, completeness, that he's complete, that he's got all his ducks in a row, spiritually and morally, and his conduct. Make sure he's a Joseph kind of guy. Well, what about Joseph? What does all that mean to be a man of integrity? What does a man of integrity look like? Well, in our passage this morning, we can see at least five things that reveal Joseph was a man of integrity. He was a man that we could emulate, that we could follow. And so I want to share those, the next few minutes, those five things. First of all, number one, he was an ordinary man. Joseph was just an ordinary man. He was an ordinary man that had flaws, just like every other man that's ever lived. And so to say that he's a man of integrity doesn't mean he was perfect. because Joseph was not perfect. God didn't choose him because he was perfect. If God looked for a perfect man to be the father of the Messiah, then he wouldn't have found anybody that would have filled the bill. And so he wasn't perfect, but he was ordinary. Mary's Joseph was not some super saint. God didn't look out in the world, all the men that were alive at the time, and say, oh, there's Joseph, there's the super saint, there's the perfect guy. No, he was just an ordinary man. He had his flaws. And if we could bring Mary up here and ask her about her husband, she would probably be able to share many of those flaws with you and with me. He had them. He had the flaws. He had the same passions and struggles and doubts that we all have. He's no different than each and every man that sits here today. No different than your husband or your father. See, God chose Joseph the carpenter. And because he chose Joseph the carpenter, not the king, not the spiritual religious leader, not the most wealthiest guy in town, actually he was in the category of one of the most poorest guys in town. He was just a carpenter. Hands were rough. Worked hard. Came home tired. God chose him. And that means God uses the ordinary to accomplish his will. He uses the ordinary imperfect men to do his work, to raise up his children. And that means he can use any one of us, because we're all ordinary and we're all flawed. And because he chose a man like Joseph, he too can use each one of us guys that are here. That's the first thing we see. He was an ordinary man. Second, number two, he was an honorable man. Verse 18, he was an honorable man. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about, it says in verse 18. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. We see two things in verse 18. Joseph was an honorable man because he followed the marriage customs of the day in which he lived. He followed those customs. He didn't lay them aside. See, in that day, to be engaged to someone, it was to be taken as something very serious. Not like today. Some gals can be engaged and then you eventually down the road, whatever, you give the ring back and, you know, no big deal other than, you know, you lost the ring or whatever. But in this day, it wasn't like that. In this day, the engagement was very, very serious. It was so serious that if you were engaged and then you want to get unengaged, you would have to go through the process of divorce, of getting divorced. So it's a serious thing. You were considered by God and by in this culture to be married, even though you hadn't come together yet. You haven't become a family yet. You hadn't done that. And during that 1 year engagement, they lasted about a year, the man, he was busy preparing a place for his family. He was building a home if need be. He was adding a room onto his father's house or whatever it might be. So he was doing that. He was preparing a place for you. Now, so the bride, as the husband during that year was doing that, she was preparing herself first to get married. Getting the things that she would need to set up her own household. Sewing the dress. Taking care of all of those things. Getting ready for that day. So she was preparing herself. Joseph was preparing a house, a home. And that's the exact illustration that God uses when it comes to you and me as the bride of Christ. At the moment we were saved, it's like we said to him, you're my groom, I do, yes. I take you. I give you myself. And then in the meantime, in life, he's there preparing a place for you, it says in John 14. He's preparing a house a place for you in heaven. Well, what are we supposed to be doing? We're the bride. Well, we're to be preparing ourselves. We're to be maturing and growing and changing and preparing to stand at His side as His groom, to stand at the side of the King as the Queen. So we are learning how to do that. This is the time of preparation. Everything that comes into our lives, God used to prepare us so that we can stand at His side as His, as the Queen, as His wife. So Joseph was this honorable man who followed the marriage customs of the day. Not only that, but it also says here that he, notice what he says, but before they came together, she was found with child. They had a relationship that was pure. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child. He also revealed that he was an honorable man by keeping his relationship with Mary pure. He treated Mary with respect as he was doing that. He was showing respect to both God and to Mary's family, to Mary's dad, to Mary's mom. Morally speaking, to steal what does not rightly belong to you, at least yet, is showing great disrespect to God first, then to the girl's father, parents, and then to the girl herself. To choose to not wait, and to choose not to do things the right way, God's way, you reveal that you lack spiritual and moral integrity. That you're not worthy of honor. A fellow that treats his girl, his fiance, in a pure way, is a fellow that is honorable. He can be honored for that. It's an honorable thing to remain pure. So Joseph was an ordinary man. Yeah, with flaws. But Joseph was an honorable man, seen in how he related to Mary and to the Mary's family and to his God and to the culture in which he lived. There's the third one. Joseph was a righteous man. Verse 19. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man. This means that Joseph always wanted to do what was right. Not just in man's eyes, but in God's eyes. He was a righteous man. Does this mean he always fulfilled those desires? No. Because he had flaws. He failed. But the desire of his heart was right. The desire of his heart was to please God. He was a man who wanted to walk with God and please God and do God's will. That was Joseph. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. You know, one of the ways you can tell if a guy is in this righteous category where he would be called a righteous man, one of the things that's revealed in his prayer life. The effectual fervent prayer of who? A righteous man avails much. So that indicates that a righteous man, if you flip it around, is one who prays. He's a praying man and he prays much. So Joseph was this righteous man. He had a desire to want to do what was right, to live a righteous life, to please God. That's the third one. He was a righteous man. We also see in verse 19, he was a loving man. He was a loving man. And it says he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. See, Joseph believed that Mary really was unfaithful to him. And that hurt him really deep. All he knew for sure was that his fiance was pregnant and he wasn't the father. And then she'd come up with this cockamamie story. Oh, by the way, God did it. Well, could you swallow that if you were, if it was your fiance or if you were a parent, you know, and you came up with that story? Well, he could no more swallow that than you could. And you need to remember something. But before all of this happened, God had not spoken or intervened in any way with man for 400 years. It wasn't like God was speaking and revealing truth and doing all kinds of unbelievable miracles, you know, like he had done in the Old Testament. No, that hadn't happened for 400 years. So this tells me they weren't expecting it. This was not expected. It wasn't the norm. And so when she said this to Joseph, he would just shake his head in total unbelief. He could not swallow that, and no one else either could. Yet in spite of his anger and his confusion and his very deep feeling of betrayal, isn't that what he went through? He would have went through. In spite of all that, he still loved this girl. He still loved Mary. See, in our text here, he was more concerned about how all of this was going to affect her and her feelings and her relationship than his own. He wasn't saying, oh, poor me. He was saying, poor Mary. See, that's what love does. His love for her still wanted to protect her. Love does cover a multitude of sins. See, in that day, at that time, Joseph had two choices. First, he could divorce her publicly, seeking to get even by humiliating and shaming her in front of the whole town. And he could have did that out of just anger and meanness. Or he could divorce her privately, seeking to make it as easy as possible for her. He was willing to do that even though he was deeply, deeply hurt with the feelings of betrayal and disappointment and anger. Well, which one did he choose? He chose to do what was best for her, not for himself. He didn't care how this made him look. He was more concerned about Mary. What does that tell us about him? How deep his love was for his wife or his fiancée? The one he wanted to be his wife. But our story seems to indicate to us that he had a very difficult ability to follow through his plan. Okay, here's my options. Divorce her publicly? Nah, that one's out. I won't do that. And then divorce her privately? Yeah, I guess I'll have to go that route. That's what I want to do. I don't want to shame her. I don't want to make her a public disgrace. But our text seems to indicate that he had trouble following through even with that choice. That he may have struggled between his legal conscience, what was legal, what was right, and his love for Mary. And I think that went on for days. That at night after night when he got home from work and he laid there in bed, struggled with that. Struggled knowing that he needed to do that legally. But not wanting to do it because he loved her so deeply. Well, one of those nights when he tossed and turned all night, trying to figure out what to do, realizing what he needed to do but didn't want to do, one night he had a dream. And in that dream, God spoke to him and he said this in verse 20, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." And this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. I'm kind of thinking after that dream, he probably had an amazing sense of relief, because he didn't want to divorce her. He loved her too much. And then when God spoke to him and told him that what she had told him was the truth, I think there was a great sense of relief for him. Well, that's number four. He was a loving man. Love wants to cover, not expose, sin. Number five, he was an obedient man. Verse 24, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home to be his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. He responded immediately to what God had told him, revealing that he was a courageously obedient kind of guy. He knew full well what it would mean, what people would be thinking about her and about him. He knew that no one would understand or believe them. Not mom, not dad, not friends, no one. And he was willing to make that difficult choice and be obedient to God. He chose to trust and obey God when it didn't make any sense. He chose to trust and obey God and not listen to his fear or his confusion or his doubt. None of that kept him from obeying God. He just did it. Men who have convictions, who are willing to lead and follow God. If we had men like that, what would our families and our churches and even our nation be like if we had men like Joseph, willing to be obedient in spite of the cost, in spite of what people would think? He wasn't worried about being popular. He wasn't worried about even being understood. All he cared about was being obedient. He was a man of integrity. He was a righteous man, an honorable man, a loving man, an obedient man. That was Joseph. We need men like that today, in our families, in our churches, and in our nation. It was on a cold October day, back in 1555. Two men died a terrible death because they refused to recant their faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And on the morning that they were to be burned at the stake for their faith in Christ, as the executioner began to light the wood on fire, Latimer turned to Ridley and said, quote, "Be of good comfort, Dr. Ridley, and play the man. Be of good comfort, Dr. Ridley, as they're lighting the wood on fire, and play the man." That is not the first time those words were spoken, words similar to that. It was in the second century, another martyr died for Jesus Christ, and his name was Polycarp. It is believed that Polycarp was a disciple of the Apostle John. As Polycarp entered the stadium in front of that bloodthirsty crowd, several Christians present said they heard a voice from heaven and it said this: "Be strong, Polycarp. Act like a man. Play the man. Be a man. Man up, Polycarp. Even if it means you have to die, man up." David, King David on his deathbed, said this to his son Solomon in 1 Kings 2:2. Listen to what he told him, his last words of advice. He said, "I'm about to go the way of all the earth. So, be strong, Solomon. Show yourself a man. Play the man. Be a man, Solomon. Walk in his ways so that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you go. Be a man. Act like a man. Play the man. Walk in his ways so that you may prosper." What he's saying here is, be the kind of man God saved you to be. A man like Joseph. Yes, ordinary. Yes, flawed. But honorable and righteous and loving and courageously obedient to God when it comes to His will for your life. No matter what the cost might be, no matter how difficult it might be, no matter what you might go through, even being burned at a stake for being God's man. That's what we need today, just like in the day Jesus was born. God found a Joseph. God is looking for Josephs today to do His will, follow His plan for their life. And we don't know what that might be. Guys, let your prayer this Christmas be, "Lord, I want to be a better man. I want to be a better husband and a better father and a better grandfather, a better pastor, a better brother, a better friend. I want to be a Joseph to my family and friends." Now that would be an amazing gift to give to God today if we did that. Father, we thank You for Joseph. Lord, we don't know a lot about him, and it'll be kind of cool to see him one day and talk to him about the things that the Bible seems to be silent on. But Father, he had an awesome responsibility as a man, as a father, as a husband. And Lord, it just by all indications, he fulfilled his responsibility. He did what he was called to do, and when he was done, You took him home. And Father, may we in this place at this time be men, especially men like Joseph. Men of courage and conviction. Men that are honorable and righteous. Men of integrity and purity. Men who seek to follow You and to obey You and do what You want to be done. May we be that kind of man. May we give You ourselves with that in mind this Christmas as a gift to You. Father, may the same thing applied to each and every one, our teens, our gals, same thing, all of those things apply. It would be that kind of person, that kind of lady, that kind of teen, someone that would please You in these dark days in which we live. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. More of a challenge to guys, more of a challenge to myself. Invite you to take your hymnal.